To Matthew chapter 18, as we read verses 21 through 35, as we continue in our series of the parables of Jesus. This one's entitled The Unforgiving Servant. And so we get to dive into God's Word this morning and teach and learn, I guess I should say. We get to learn from Jesus' teachings. Matthew 18, verse 21 through 35. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me?" "Up to seven times," is what he asked. Jesus answered, "I tell you not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back, everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servants fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we've heard your word today. And Lord, as it's been read out loud here today, may you bless us with your presence. And Lord, may we learn about that word today for our own lives. Lord, so I pray for the Spirit to fill those that have gathered here in your presence, open their souls, their hearts, and their minds to your teaching. And Lord, may you fill me with that same Spirit as I bring this message to them. May these words be your words and never my own. In Jesus whom I pray, amen. A couple of Mondays ago, I was coming out of Rock Valley. To the north, if you've ever been north out of Rock Valley, there's the two bridges there. And if you haven't noticed, they reduced the speed limit there a little bit to 35. And I'd left the stop sign on the north side of town, and I was making my way out with a string of cars, and I was number two in the string, and we were doing about 48 miles an hour, and up over the hill coming into Rock Valley was a state trooper. And I thought, oh no. Everyone slammed on their brakes, as you can about imagine. So I began to watch in my rearview mirror, what's going to happen? And of course, he got to the Vinzi's driveway, and he whipped it around. But oh my, who's he going to get? And so I wondered. He passed car number four, and I thought, well, that guy's lucky. And I started to wonder, well, could it be me? He came behind car number three, which is a young mom with children in the van, which I'd seen because I met her at the stop sign. I thought, he's not going to pull this young mom over with children. And I waited a little longer, and sure enough, the lights came on, and he pulled the minivan over behind me. I was so relieved as I kept heading north back to Inwood. I've had it happen a few times in my life. I'm sure you have had as well. But you know what? I was just as guilty as what she was. I broke the law. I was speeding that day. I could have been pulled over and deserved a ticket just as much as what she probably had. We were all deserving of a ticket that day. But while I was waiting to see what car he was going to pull over, I was thinking in my mind, what excuse could I give for my speeding? And hopefully I could lessen the fine. Maybe I could get by with a warning. So my question to you this morning, why is it that we get this idea that the law doesn't always pertain to us? Or that it's okay to try to lessen its impact on us when we've done something wrong? I want you to hold that thought this morning as we go through this message about forgiveness. Peter, he'd been walking with Jesus for some 3 years. He walked in the steps of the rabbi. Peter was getting pretty good at Jesus' theology and Jesus' teaching and his ways and what he was learning. And he thought he had Jesus figured out. And so he begins to ask Jesus this question in a theological debate. And you know the question that he asked in Matthew 18, verse 21. Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Seven times is what he says to him. Now let me ask you this next question. Where would that question come from? Why would he ask only seven times? So you got to look deep into the question of what Peter's having this conversation about Jesus. You need to know something about the past and what's being taught at the time. It was the norm for the rabbis to teach the Jewish people that if you were sinned against or something terrible happened to you by a brother and sister, you need to forgive them once, twice, and three times. But the fourth time, never. That's what the Jews thought. That's what the rabbis taught in the synagogue. Once, twice, three times. If somebody sins against you, four, never forgive them. So Peter asked the question, seven times, Lord? You know, that's almost twice as many as what we're being taught. This for surely got to be the right answer, is what Peter's thinking. But then Jesus comes out and he says this in 18 verse 22. I tell you, Peter, not seven times, but 77 times is what he says to Peter. Jesus' whole point here is this. Our forgiveness should be all-inclusive and unlimited all the time. No matter who the person is, no matter what has happened to you, you need to forgive people. A brother, a sister, an aunt, an uncle, a mother, a father, whatever that might be. And I know that some of you maybe have been through some horrific things in your life. But God says we still need to have a forgiving heart. That might be a struggle for some of us. Because of the deep wound or the deep hurt that's happened to us in our lives. And so I pray that you find a way to do that. And as we go through this message, that you have a deeper understanding of what forgiveness should look like and what our heart should be towards Jesus Christ and others in the world that we live in. How many of you have knotheads that live in your life? That's a nice word to use, right? We all have that, don't we? People that we don't get along with, people that push us the wrong way, people that hurt us from time to time. We have those people in our lives, and you're going to continue to deal with those people until the good Lord calls you home, by the way. They're not going to go away. God might even add a few to the list in your life. Those will be the toughest people to forgive. But Jesus says you need to forgive them in your life. And so now Peter, he's kind of astonished. He's kind of maybe took a step back and he goes, really, Jesus, this is what you want me to do? And then Jesus leads him down a parable, which the parable that we're going to study this morning that has a lot of things going on in it, but we'll unpack it on, we'll discuss it, and we'll give it some deeper meaning in our own lives. Notice the story moves on to those two types of people that are in this. The first one is a king and a servant, and the second one is a servant and another servant that owe each other money. That's kind of the basis of what's going on here. But you need to understand the amounts of the money that's being shared and the hearts of the people that are involved as well. There's deep meaning there. So the first of the people involve a king who has an astronomical amount of debt owed to him by one of his servants. And here's the point I want to make with you this morning. The astronomical amount of debt that is owed to this king is huge. And I didn't fully understand that until I looked at it this week. 10,000 talents. Does anybody know what one talent is worth back then? 20 years worth of wages. 75 pounds of gold is what one talent was worth in the day of this writing of Jesus' story. How many talents did the guy owe the king? 10,000 talents. Who has that kind of money? How big was the lottery this past week? Guess what? It wasn't enough. That's how large the amount of money was. And what does the king do to the master or the servant that comes? And he begs to him, I need your forgiveness. I'll repay you. The king's thinking all along, there's no way he can repay me. The amount is too much. And so what does the king do? He throws him in jail and says, away with you. What did the king do with the servant? He forgave him. He says, your debt is wiped clear. Now, who do you think that's a picture of in the world that we live in today? Who would be the king in this parable? Come on, congregation. Jesus Christ, God the Father, goes to the servant and says, you are forgiven your debt. There's no way you can repay it. Guess who the servant is? You and I. Your sin is worth more money than you'll ever have. You can never repay your debt. Even if you tried, you can never repay the debt that's owed against you for your sins. And the whole point that Jesus is trying to make in this parable is that you need to be forgiven by God. And what you have been, if you've asked for forgiveness and you've given your heart to Jesus Christ, you have been forgiven. Your debt is erased. That should give you great joy. And yet we lead somber lives once in a while, don't we? You've been given eternal life. It starts already today, whenever you gave your life to Christ. I want you to remember the amount of debt that's owed. And by the way, I did some statistics of what you think that might be worth today. $3.6 billion today, if you had that much cash. That was the figure that they used. Staggering amount. Unpayable by just about everyone in this world today. I don't know if Bill Gates would even have enough money to pay the debt. You get the point about how gracious God has been to you in your life and the forgiveness that he's extended to you for your sins. And that's exactly the point that Christ wants to make with you today in this parable. That you've been forgiven in such a great way through the death of Christ on the cross. But then the parable moves on, and it gets a little bit tougher, doesn't it? And so it involves the first servant that was forgiven by the king and another servant who owes him money. He goes out and he finds this servant, and you can see that this first servant, he's brash, he's harsh, he's unforgiving with the second man. And here's what he does with him. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins, and he grabbed him and he began to choke him. Can you about see the scene? He's furious with him. Give me my money! That's what he does with his fellow servant. He demanded, you need to pay me. And the servant, he begged for patience. He begged to have mercy on him. But the first servant said, no way. You're not getting by with this. You know where I'm going with this one here, don't you? You see, this second set of servants speaks about the forgiveness that we need to forgive others in our lives when we're sinned against. This is the hard part that I'm talking to you about here this morning. Even though the first servant was forgiven much, he had no pity or forgiveness for others in the world which he lived in. I just wonder, how many of us might live like this? Where we don't forgive others in the same way that you've been forgiven in your own life. Me included. We could probably all be there. You and I have been forgiven. Remember that? 10,000 talents. But how often do we extend forgiveness to others in our own lives when people do things against us that hurt, that might destroy us, that might break us? Whatever that might be in your life, you have those experiences. I know you do because I have them as well in my life. We live in a sinful, broken world. I don't have to tell you that. How often do we extend forgiveness? Your spouse, your children, your parents, your brother or sister, your friends, your church family, your neighbors, your co-workers, and the list could go on. Here's the point that I want to make with you this morning. If you don't forgive others, this is what Jesus says, he lays it out there, you are not forgiven by God. That's what he says. That might hurt just a little bit this morning. Really, God? I need to forgive everyone? Yep, everyone, Jesus says. How many times? Oh, two or three. Nope, 77. Endless. Unlimited. To who? Everyone. That's what Jesus says. And notice how it ends. Then the king, the master, called the servant in who was choking the other servant. And he said, you wicked servant, you. That's what he said to him. I canceled all your debts and you begged for forgiveness and I granted you all this forgiveness and you couldn't forgive anyone else. And it said that his master handed him over to the jailer to be tortured until he should pay it back. Who do you think the jailer is the pitcher today? Satan. Do you think the debt's payable with those kind of money and figures we talked about? No. It talks about eternal condemnation in hell is what I believe is where Jesus is going with this. That if we can't forgive others, there's no way you can pay the debt. There's no way you're going to be forgiven. You will be sent to jail, which would be hell, and you'll be tortured for the rest of your life. And Jesus puts it way more graceful. But the point is there. You see, there's no room in heaven for this type of heart is what God is saying through Jesus to his people. That's what he's telling Peter. And so when that day of judgment comes, you can't look for excuses to try to lessen the fine. Remember that state trooper that was in my rearview mirror a couple weeks ago? And I began to go through things like, how can I lessen the fine? What can I tell him? You see, when you stand before God someday, you can't go to him and say, how can I lessen the fine? What can I tell him? You see, God is telling us, this is the type of heart he wants his people to have forgiveness for others. Now let me ask you this. If people would truly forgive each other, do you think the world would be a different place today? most definitely. What would that do to your family? What would that do to your neighbors in your neighborhood, in your towns, in your communities, in your school systems, if people would forgive each other for the things that they've done to each other? See, that's the point Jesus is getting at. This is how we should live amongst each other. It's kind of a tough parable to learn today because it's hard to forgive people. And I think that even in the church today, that we are not forgiving enough. We have work to do in this area. All of us do, I feel. And so may you pray for God to give you the words, give you the strength to go to those people that you need to forgive in your life. And here's the most important point that I want you to get on the bottom of the screen this morning. A heart that forgives is a heart that's been changed by God. It's been softened. It's not a heart of stone. It's a heart of flesh. And there's a difference between a follower of Christ and one that is not in this world. And you know the amount that you've been forgiven through Jesus Christ. And so may you go and do your part and work for the kingdom of God. And all of God's people said,